everybody. Welcome in. It's David Summers, and welcome back to this special holiday studcast. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, and it's great to be back on the air with you today, Tennessee Stud. All right, so we're going to be covering quite a few things of all kinds during this holiday special. And to get it started, I'd like to introduce the man of the hour, 6'9" tall, 269 pounds, your Tennessee Stud, Ron Fuller. Ron, what's going on in your world, man?
Oh, geez, man. Thanks for that great introduction, man. You know, I'm glad to say I'm still 6'9" tall, but Dave, that 269 pounds is gone, long gone. You know, I've trimmed a good 40 pounds off that 269, so I'm a little bit thinner. But I also hope all the listeners had a wonderful Thanksgiving out there. You know, that's just past us here. And it's great. I hope the heck you had a really good one. And I look forward to spending some time today with all those loyal fans out there who I've missed talking to so much.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is not going to be anything like the Studcast of the past, where family history was the focus.
Right.
We're going to be bouncing around all over the place today, talking about many different things. And to get started, I want to let listeners know where they can still find me and what's going on.
Okay, we can certainly do that. Listen, I can help you with all of that, Stud. I mean, they can still find you on YouTube, Southeastern Rewind. Southeastern Rewind on YouTube, and your fantastic website, everybody knows, tnstud.com. It's been going strong for, like, I think almost 10 years now, tnstud.com. The latest thing on there right now is your Brutus area. Fans can find out everything about your Smoky Mountain Lion story that has absolutely captured America's attention. So, toward the end of this special holiday show, we're going to be telling everybody about your tremendous holiday offer. It has blown me away. It's a one-of-a-kind, totally unique, never-heard-of combination gift. I think that's going to be cool. All right, Stud, let's get started. And I've got a few questions for you already to get things kicked off. Thanksgiving Day has just passed, and I couldn't help but think of your holiday matches that you had each year. So what was it like to work every holiday? And, man, you definitely worked some holidays.
Yeah, and it wasn't just me, and it wasn't just Southeastern. It was all over the country. If you was a professional wrestler, you might as well plan on not getting any days off when it comes to a holiday. And, you know, and guys really didn't mind because they made good money. I mean, you know, holidays were magic days. People could get together with the family, and then it was just a part of it to say, well, we ought to go to the wrestling matches tonight.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And I never really had any qualms about doing holiday events and not having that day off because, wow, you went home and you celebrated because you had a little more money in your pocket. And and that made a lot of difference for everybody, the wrestlers, promoters, everybody else. Holidays were magic, and it was great. We took advantage of them whenever we could.
Oh, no doubt. All right, take me back to 1985, Stud, when Southeastern Wrestling had become Continental, and you started to wrestle twice on the same day, on Thanksgiving and again on Christmas Day. Is that for real?
Yeah, it certainly is, man. You know, and when I first got the idea for it, once we, Southeastern, we switched it over, we took it out of the Dothan television station and started producing the show in Birmingham with Gordon Solie. Mm-hmm. We also were able to move back north again into Tennessee, where that territory had been dead for 5 years at this point, 1985. about 1979, and we've been talking about, you know, 1979, well, I had sold out in the fall of 1979, stayed there, worked a few shows, worked with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
On one of them, as a matter of fact. And, you know, then, so, when they took over, the Southeastern people, the new Southeastern Territory owners, was Jim Barnett and a guy named Fred Ward out of Georgia. They had problems drawing. I mean, they just could never get it off the ground. What actually hurt it and started all of this was the Knoxville War, 1979, and had five guys that the main guys in the territory that pulled away and wanted to take over wrestling in Knoxville, and they failed, but they hurt the territory a great deal. And so when I sold it, I was pretty happy to leave. I mean, we had Barnett had a match on Thanksgiving night, one of his first matches when he took over. Mm-hmm. He had the world champion Harley Race against Dick Slater, and me against Hulk Hogan on that card. The Coliseum was half full. It was really, really, it was a sad thing to see. We'd never ran any matches. I don't think they'd ever run a match in the Knoxville's history on Thanksgiving night. So I wanted to start running on Thanksgiving. I ran the first Thanksgiving night show in 1977. Mm-hmm. It almost sold out the Coliseum. The 1978 Thanksgiving was a total sellout. This 1979, half a crowd. And they had the world champion, had Harley Race, had a tremendous card. So, the city was really, and the business was really messed up bad. So, Barnett kept that territory for a little while, and then he sold it off to Ric Flair and Blackjack Mulligan.
Wow.
They became the owners of Knoxville Wrestling. They did not keep the name of Southeastern. I guess they thought that was a little holdback. Wasn't why they couldn't draw, but mm-hmm. It didn't make any difference. It didn't hurt. It didn't help them at all that they had changed the name. So, but they had no. They really did not do well at all. They didn't have any success. And so they shut down. About 1982, they quit wrestling. They just walked away. And and there was no wrestling there in Knoxville until 1985. And in 1985, we had started Continental at that point. We knew that there had been 3 years or so that there would be no wrestling there at all.
Yeah.
And so I talked to my partners, and I said, guys, let's take this company back north. Let's go back into Knoxville. Let's go to Chattanooga, which we had never been in Chattanooga before.
Right.
And so we went up there on Thanksgiving. And the first time we went on that Thanksgiving, I think that was probably it was 1985. I had talked to them. I had the conversation about going north. That was no problem or anything. And then I said, you know, guys, Birmingham is only 250 miles from Knoxville. And I said, Thanksgiving is a magic day. And yeah. I said, you know, we could go at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and start at 3 o'clock in Knoxville. And then, put the first match on, in Knoxville. Then as soon as they got out of the ring, they could go straight to their cars and drive toward Birmingham, 250 miles south.
Right.
And then I said, basically what we can do is we can run two major cities on the holiday, same day, We'll run Knoxville in the afternoon. We'll run Birmingham at night.
Wow.
And they were like, wow, Ron, we're going to wrestle twice? I said, yeah.
On the same day?
Huh?
On the same day.
On the same day, right. Yeah. And on the same day when you're going to drive, too. You're going to drive like crazy from Knoxville to get to Birmingham. It's a four-hour drive.
Yeah,
easy. So, you know, you really had to pretty much go. You had to grab some food on the way.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. And, wow, it was like the guys really didn't like the idea. But once they saw that spell out in Knoxville, and they were like, wow, man, you know, that Knoxville had been dead. I mean, they couldn't draw 1,000 people. We had 6,000 in the Coliseum on Thanksgiving. And they were like, gosh, man, this is pretty cool. And then when they got to Birmingham, there was another sellout.
Yeah.
Right? And had to turn them away. We couldn't put all the people in the building.
Wow.
So
I bet they didn't complain about the payout either.
Oh, no. We'll talk a little bit about that later, but yeah, so it was quite a deal, and it was really tough on them. It's hard to wrestle one time and, you know, right. really give your all.
Yeah.
But when you got to leave and jump in a car and drive like crazy and then put your tights back on again and go at it again a second time, wow, it was a little bit of a little bit. It pushed us. I guess it's a way of putting it. It pushed everybody, all of us that were in the ring.
Oh, no doubt. Listen, I bet you guys were absolutely worn out when you finished the night in Birmingham. I mean, literally barely before midnight.
Yeah, that's correct. Especially if you were in the last couple of matches. And, but that wasn't the end of it, Dave. We didn't live in Birmingham. So we had to drive the whole territory, lived in Pensacola. So we had to leave around midnight in Birmingham after wrestling twice and drive 4 hours to Pensacola. it was quite a struggle, man.
But that was in order to be able to sleep in your own bed after two matches, one in Knoxville, one in Birmingham.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then we were going to do it again. Once we saw how successful it was on Thanksgiving, I said, guys, what are we going to do Christmas?
Here it comes.
You know, but I'll tell you what, there was not much arguing about it. And that was because of, you know, of what wrestlers made. You just mentioned a minute ago. Yeah. What did they make? Yeah. I mean, you know, so what happened there is, the wrestlers that had been, I don't know about this, Ron. Boy, we're doing two towns in one day, you know. And, so when they got their payoff, even the guys that worked first match made $1,000 for the day.
Wow.
Now, this is back in 1985, which was pretty good change. And, you know, and the guys that were on top made $2,500.
God.
For the day, you know, I mean, because those towns were, you know, the gross houses were above $40,000,
yeah,
dollars, close to 50. So, there was no complaining about that part of it. You know, guys really loved that part. So, it wasn't too bad. When I had the meeting again, we got fairly close to Christmas. I didn't want anybody to go the wrong direction with their thought process. And then I told them about 2 weeks ahead of time. I said, guys, we got a big Christmas day coming. And then like, one or two, Ron. One town or two, right? they were like ready to go. Oh, let's do the double, man. Let's double it up.
Yeah, but what? Yeah. So the attitude of the wrestlers had to change once you hit them with the payoff for those two matches in one day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, once they saw their payoff, they were like, Ron, wow, geez, this was a great idea, man.
Yeah.
Who came up with this?
Genius.
Money in the pocket, man, makes a lot of difference and puts smiles on your face.
Yeah, you bet.
You know, and that's exactly what happened when we started doing those two shows in one day.
Yeah, and one thing we've learned about you over the years and over these studcasts is that that's one thing you really did is you took care of the talent. You made sure that once they worked for you, they wanted to work for you again because your pay was so well, and compared to other markets, other wrestling organizations, there really was no comparison. And folks were like, yeah, I want to go down there and work for that Fuller dude. He pays out really well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you want that type of reputation. It helps you get some great talent. And, wow, we got some of the best in the world.
Yeah.
We got them because we paid well. And guys didn't mind working twice if you made $2,500. I don't know what that is, Dave. I usually look up my figures for you, man. Tell you what that $2,500 is worth.
Yeah.
In 1985, but I got a feeling that $2,500 is worth probably about $10,000.
Compared
to today's money.
Absolutely. All right. So, but this is interesting because I've never heard of this before. How many other wrestling companies did the two shows in one day on major holidays like that?
Well, I tell you, man, it was crazy. A lot of companies didn't even run on Thanksgiving and didn't even run Christmas.
Right.
I mean, you know, and that was such a huge mistake, I thought. And but there were a couple Mid-Atlantic, which was the Carolinas. You were in the Carolinas out of Charlotte. Living in Charlotte, that's where Flair lived, and a lot of great wrestlers, a lot of great talent there. They did those two shows.
Yeah.
They were doing that two-show thing. And in fact, I believe on one of those two-show things is where Ric Flair and Johnny Valentine, they had a plane wreck. They had a private plane, and the plane wrecked. They ran out of gas within sight of the runway.
Wow. Okay, I think I've heard you tell that story years ago. Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, so that really obviously made the horror out of that whole deal.
Yeah.
But They they paid very well too there. They had that reputation. And, so they would do the two towns in one day. I don't know that they ever did that afterward. That might have been the end of it for them. So we only got to take advantage of this deal about 3 years in a row. We went there.
Yeah.
We did it twice. And we did it in 1985, we did it in 1986, and we did it in 1987. And we never went to a match during those 3 years on Christmas or Thanksgiving that wasn't sold out.
Wow. All right, Ron, so since I've been doing your studcast years ago, and we've been doing this thing for a long time, I found a few other wrestling podcasts that really interest me. And one of those, Jerry Briscoe and John Layfield do a really great historical one. I don't know if you're aware, but right now they have just finished the second episode in a 4-part series about your Welch family, about your family being the premier family in American professional wrestling. Are you up to date on this podcast?
Yeah, I actually am, Dave. You know, and I listened to the first episode, and these guys are big time, and I have done their show. I have done Jerry Briscoe's and John Layfield's podcast before.
Yeah.
I had I'd never never heard them do this type of podcast, they ended up with another guy that was I think his name is Tony Richards, who was a wrestling historian, and and Tony Richards laid out basically the first episode is all Roy. It's all about Roy, and how he set up the first territories, how he managed his business, what type of guy he was, so I listened to the first one and I was like, wow, man, this is really good. And, it's a 4-part series. And I think actually they finished the second part today or yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, so fans out there, if they want to hear something really good, our family has been, one of the biggest in the history of the sport. The biggest, actually, not one of the biggest. We are the largest, and just about the oldest professional wrestling family on the planet.
Yeah.
We've never got much publicity because we never wanted it. We never pushed for it.
Yeah.
So, we didn't get a lot of stories about what was going on, and actually, my dad didn't like wrestling magazines, and he kind of got me into that vein of thinking that, wrestling magazines aren't important to drawing money. And it wasn't, basically, because we always pretty much sold out just about all our towns without having wrestling magazines giving us much publicity.
Right.
So these stories about Roy, that's being told about Roy in this first episode, were just amazing to me. He had facts that I had no way to say that was not true, you know. So,
right.
I've been really, I'm really looking forward to the rest of this. You know, I'm very familiar. I don't know if you're familiar, Dave, with John Layfield.
Absolutely.
And obviously you listened to him.
Heck yeah.
And so what happened is, I don't know if we just finished the second. They just finished the second episode, and then and I don't know, for those that don't know a whole lot about the Briscoes, Jerry Briscoe was an amateur wrestler. His brother Jack was the former NWA world champion. Jerry arrived in the Florida territory about the same time I did, late 1970. And we were both getting started as pro wrestlers at that time. Jack Briscoe, one of the greatest amateur champions of all time. He won 2 NCAA national championships at Oklahoma State, and then he became the NWA world champion on July 20th, 1973. Know who he beat for the belt?
Who would that be?
Harley Race.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Yeah. Jack kind of took me under his wing when I went to Florida in 1970, and he kind of became my mentor, and he started advising me, especially about 1973. I had really become a pretty good wrestler in the first 3 years. I'd only been wrestling for 3 years at that point, but I'd become a pretty darn good wrestler, and I was suddenly getting all this attention from matches in St. Louis. The man at the top handled everything that had to do with professional wrestling. He was putting me on St. Louis cards. Jack was giving me advice, man. And from what I heard, like I said, this first episode with Tony Richards, this is a very professional group, these three guys. And And we've been, like I said, overlooked. And I'm glad you brought it up, man. I highly recommend it. If you're a fan of professional wrestling, this is something that you really should listen to.
Oh, no doubt. I think that's really, really cool. All right. Those guys are very thorough, very professional. I had already learned a tremendous amount about your grandfather, Roy Welch, in the first 5 studcasts on your website, tnstud.com. And you've got every studcast posted there, tnstud.com. So if you want to go back and get the real history lesson from the horse's mouth, I mean, that's you. You can do that at tnstud.com. I can't wait to hear what's going to be said about your generation. So I know something else big time that's coming up. That's going to be big time for you.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it as well. You know, And I'm not the type of guy that's going to run over there and start looking for these guys if they say something that I don't like.
Right.
You know, but after listening to the first episode, I think fans are going to really get a feel for the importance of the Welch family and how much wrestling really evolved around our family.
Yeah, since the last studcast, do you have somebody following me or something, Stud? Yeah. I'm curious.
No, I mean, I don't know where you get this news, you know. So that's a really good spot that you got there, a good podcast that you got into.
Absolutely. All right. It is something long overdue for you, Stud. I think there's some news that you want to tell us about. Do you want to break that news to us?
Yeah, man, this is a big one. And I don't know how you found this out. I only knew about this a couple of days ago. I found out, you know, that I'm about to be inducted into the Dan Gable Museum National Wrestling Hall of Fame this summer in Waterloo, Iowa, which is a great, great wrestling hall of fame building. Wow, really, really beautiful. And Dan Gable, phenomenal amateur wrestler.
Yeah.
That's why he got himself a museum that happens to be his home in Waterloo, Iowa. So I don't know how you found out about that, but you know, that's something that, you know, I'm looking forward to that too.
That is so cool, and congratulations! And I know the fans are going to be very excited for you as well. Are you actually going to that to be at that presentation in Iowa?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, it's a 3-day deal. It's in July.
Yeah.
The 9th, 10th, and the 11th in July, and you know, oddly enough, Jeff Jarrett, who's been a big star of WWE, and in fact, my brother managed him as Tennessee Lee. When he was wrestling in WWE, he's going to be inducted at the same time, and he's a Tennessee boy himself.
Double J, Jeff Jarrett, no doubt. That is so cool.
Yeah,
that's so awesome.
You know, Tennessee's going to be well represented at that induction.
J-E-double-F. Anyway. All right.
Oh, yeah.
I've got some great new connections, and I think what better time than now to break this kind of news after all. It's been quite a while since you were on with your fans, and now they get to share this news. So that's awesome.
Yeah, well, you know, it's always quite an honor, man, to be inducted in any kind of Hall of Fame. I don't care what Hall of Fame it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Gable, like I said, was one of the greatest amateur wrestlers in history. And this Hall of Fame is located right there in his hometown, and 3-day event. And, you know, if fans like to come to this, you can attend this. So, you know, I don't know how many fans I got out there in Iowa and that part of the country, but, you know, they're sure welcome to come and see what this is all about.
That is so cool. All right. So it sounds like the state of Tennessee is going to be well represented. So what I would like to hear about next is this unique idea you have for fans this Christmas. You want to tell us about that?
Well, yeah, Dave, this is a special Christmas deal. Fans need to go to the tinsta.com, to the website, and they'll find, at the top of it, the top row of that homepage there is a new heading. It's called Brutus, a novel. And I've never before done Christmas, idea for all fans. I've never tried to think of a way that I can really make things great and easy and not expensive for fans. And everybody knows the added value of something autographed by somebody recognizable. So I put together a special Christmas package that's kind of a combination of wrestling pictures, my Brutus book, and all of it for a phenomenal price, really. My 8x10 wrestling pictures, which I personally autograph, have always been for sale for $15 each. And my book, which is also personally autographed by me, every one of them, has always been on sale for $25. So this special Christmas package includes three of the most popular of my 8x10 photographs that would normally, like I said, sell for $15. So you got three of them. The price would be $45 normally, plus the Brutus book, which is normally $25, is going to be added into that. And, that's $45 plus that $25. That's a $70 deal. That's a big whop for wrestling fans. So I'm going to give people the $70 deal, all four of these, the book and three of the photos, personally autographed, mm-hmm. for $37.
37 bucks.
$37.
Wow. I mean, all right, you said all four of those items, normally $70. And all you're asking is only $37. That is quite the holiday special. So it's about half the normal price. That's crazy stuff, but you're going to do it.
Well, that's not the crazy part yet, really, Dave. Yeah, that's the beginning of it, basically. So basically, it's Christmas. It's close to Christmas time of year. And this offer is very special. So, think about it. What if the buyer didn't want all four items, and let's say he didn't want the photos, and I had the ability to personally autograph the pictures or the book to whoever the buyer wanted to give them to, So basically then the purchaser could keep what he wanted, which is already autographed to him,
right.
And he could give any and all of the other items that he wanted to give away as a special Christmas gift himself to somebody else, and it's a great gift. It's an already personally autographed picture, to somebody else.
I think that's pretty cool. I mean, you're talking about $37 Christmas gift package with four items. They can keep what they want out of that and then share with somebody else. It's still available to as many as three other people that already have it autographed in their name. I think that is really cool. That's the greatest gift idea I think maybe we've ever heard in the history of wrestling. All right. How are you going to be able to do that?
Well, the buyer, obviously, he's going to make the decision of who gets what, he's spending the money, and the photographs are numbered. If you go to tnstud.com and check out to see how you do this, get this deal, it's right there. The photographs are numbered, number one, two, and three. Number one is my red robe picture with the cowboy hat. Number two is made with the USA Championship belt on the back patio in 19, I guess probably 79 or so. And the third one is me with the Tennessee Stud mask on. So after whoever buys this makes his buy, he contacts me, Ron Fuller Welch at mail.com, and he lets me know the name of his chosen receivers and the photo they want autographed on the checkout sheet. Lets me know which photo they want. Mm-hmm. They give me their first name, and he gets what he wants. And he also gives special gifts to his friends that last a lifetime. People hold on to these photos for years and years.
I think you're going to make a lot of wrestling fans happy this Christmas, Ron. No doubt about it. I've already got a couple of friends in mind for one of those beautiful personally autographed 8x10 photos. All right, I want to talk about the book a little bit. Brutus is really absolutely, truly amazing and often compared to the blockbuster Jaws that everybody knows worldwide. If it continues to grow in popularity, I can only imagine what one is going to be worth with your autograph in it. So I was hoping we would have a few minutes left, because I went to your TNstud.com website a couple of days ago and saw the impressive list of Brutus reviews that you've got set up there. I mean, do you mind if I read a couple of those reviews on them now?
No, that'd be fine, Dave.
Okay, so I know, and some of them compare Brutus to, as we said earlier, Jaws. So I know we've been going on a while here, but fans need to hear some of these. So I will not give the name.
Just a second, Dave. I have more than 60 reviews.
Wow. On my
book, which is wow. That's a pretty big number.
Yeah.
All of them are 5-star reviews except for 4. So 54 out of 60 reviews are 5-star reviews.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing right there.
Yeah.
And, there are 20 reviews under Brutus on the TNstud.com site right now.
Yeah. All right, as we said, I know some are compared to Jaws, but we've been going on about this for a while, but fans need to hear some of these. So we won't give the name of the reviewer, but here is the first review. And this person says, better than Jaws. A movie must be made. With come to life characters, you will not put it down. Buy this book, you will not be disappointed. Wow, that's strong. Here's another one. Amazing. Mr. Welch puts all his storytelling skills to use here to tell the story of Brutus, a killer lion on the loose in the Great Smoky Mountains and the desperate attempt to stop him. This is a wonderfully original idea that leaves one asking, could this really happen? All right, here's another one, Stud. A fierce first novel. With Brutus, Ron Fuller Welch has written a first-class adventure thriller. A Jaws of sorts for dry land. A Brutus movie in the future. See, all of these reviews are absolutely great. And this will be the last one. All right. This will be made into a movie. It's that good. Ron Fuller Welch is a prolific storyteller. Brutus has great characters and zero holes in the storyline. If you love reading a book with believable twists and turns with the, oh my God, what's going to happen next feeling, this is the novel for you. You can also get an autographed copy from your website, from his website, this person says. You can imagine having an early first edition, early work of a book that may rival Jaws before it is all done and have it autographed by Benchley, King, or Clancy. You know what I mean? I mean, what could that be worth? That's cool.
I'll tell you what, Dave, I guess, man, This is going to be hard to top that, this special stud cast. I've really enjoyed this today. And, we talked about trying to get together and do one of these for a while. I'm thoroughly happy to get to be able to get this one pieced together. I hope that, people out there can support the special Christmas package. I think, it's got so many different, good things about it. $70 value for 37 is pretty remarkable. And I want to thank you, Dave, and all our listeners out there for joining us. I hope everybody has enjoyed this. Maybe Dave, we may be able to do some for Christmas. What do you think?
Hey, it's been a few weeks. A few months maybe since we've had a chance to sit down and talk again. And I hope we can do that. That would be pretty cool. Let's give them an update on Christmas as to how things are going with the book and whatever else is happening in the life of the Tennessee stud, Ron Fuller. Hey, Ron, this has been a lot of fun. So listen, thanks for spending this time with us. And we know you're going to be enjoying the rest of the holidays. And as we close in on Christmas, we just hope it's a perfect Christmas for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Same here to you, Dave. And same to all you fans out there, Southeastern, Continental, all wrestling fans all over the world. Thank you very much for what you did for me, for my family, for a lot of other wrestlers and their families. And, we were a part of an era that I don't think I'll ever see again.
Oh, no doubt. Hey, listen, Ron, this is always a pleasure to spend time with you. So I want to say thank you for everything that you've done for me. It's been so cool to have a partnership with you and to do these studcasts that we've done over the years. All right. God bless you. Thank you for everything. And for Ron Fuller, I'm David Summers saying, have a great, wonderful holiday season and Merry Christmas.